from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Monday, January 5th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. An alleged New Year's Eve attack in Charlotte was stopped by law enforcement after discovering plans from a Mint Hill man online. Kenneth Lee has more.
Christian Sturtevant, an 18-year-old from Mint Hill, is accused of plotting an ISIS-inspired New Year's Eve attack targeting a grocery store and a fast food restaurant in North Carolina. Federal prosecutors say he planned to use knives and hammers in the attack at the two locations, which have not been publicly identified. Investigators say that in December, the FBI received information that Sturtevant had made multiple social media posts supporting ISIS. During a search of his home, agents say they also found a handwritten letter titled New Year's Attack 2026 that laid out details of the alleged plan. U.S. Attorney for the Western District of North Carolina, Russ Ferguson, says Sturtevant believed he was working with ISIS members to carry out the attack.
This subject was working alone, we believe, at this stage in the investigation. But what's interesting about that is he didn't think he was working alone. He had contacted two different members that he thought were ISIS and working with him, obtaining firearms for him. They happened to be undercover agents, so he was working alone, but it wasn't his intention to work alone.
Sturtevant is charged with attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. If convicted, he could face up to 20 years in federal prison. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The Carolina Panthers are back in the NFL playoffs for the first time in 7 years. The Panthers lost Saturday to Tampa Bay 16-14, but got help from the Atlanta Falcons, who beat the New Orleans Saints Sunday to create a three-way tie atop the NFC South. The Panthers won the division title in a tiebreaker and will face the Los Angeles Rams Saturday at Bank of America Stadium. Coach Dave Canales spoke to the media after the game and said it's a great reward for the team's hard work during the regular season.
You know, what it's meant is just, you know, proving to the guys that if we have that mentality, if we do take advantage of opportunities and prepare ourselves each week like it's a championship opportunity, then good things will happen down the stretch. And we're in this position right now because of the hard work and that focus.
The Panthers beat the Rams 31-28 in Charlotte on November 30th. Kickoff Saturday is at 4:30. For the first time, there are now more registered Republicans than Democrats in North Carolina. New data from the State Board of Elections released over the weekend shows there are 2,077 more registered Republicans in the state. The GOP has roughly 2.315 million voters, while the Democratic Party has about 2.312 million. Unaffiliateds are the largest group of voters, with just under 3 million. For several years, Republican registration has held steady at 30% of the electorate. The Democratic share has been plummeting, falling from nearly 50% of all voters 20 years ago. The state of North Carolina now officially recognizes only two sexes, according to a law that went into effect New Year's Day. Governor Josh Stein vetoed the measure last year, calling it mean-spirited. But as Blue Ridge Public Radio's Felicia Sanmez reports, the Republican-led General Assembly overrode Stein's veto.
HB 805 calls for the official recognition of two sexes in all administrative rules, regulations, or public policies in North Carolina. It also states that gender identity will not be treated the same as biological sex under state law. The measure references an executive order signed by President Trump last year, enacting similar requirements on the federal level. Originally, the North Carolina law was focused on an entirely different matter, providing protections for people depicted in sexually explicit photos and videos online without their consent. But Republicans in the state Senate made a host of additions targeting transgender people, including the provision that recognizes only two sexes. The North Carolina ACLU opposes the law, which it says creates, quote, rigid definitions of sex and gender that erase the existence of transgender, non-binary, and intersex individuals. I'm Felicia Sanmez, BPR News.
In the coming academic year, the UNC system plans to train around 400 future K-12 educators in youth mental health first aid. WFDD's Amy Diaz has more.
The UNC system launched a training initiative in 2021 focused on recognizing and responding to mental health concerns in adults. Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs Susie Baker says the system wants to address these issues earlier. Youth-specific mental health training will be part of the curriculum for teacher and principal preparation programs.
If we're able to get those folks who are often the first port of call for a student who's struggling to have the knowledge to spot that and the confidence and skills to approach a student and start to intervene, then we're going to have a healthier population as they grow older and start to come to us for college.
The training focuses on the most common issues for 12 to 18-year-olds, like anxiety, eating disorders, and ADHD, as well as the impacts of social media and cyberbullying. I'm Amy Diaz.
Jerry Bledsoe, a former newspaper reporter who rose to national acclaim as the author of Bitter Blood and other true crime bestsellers, died Wednesday night after a fall at his Ashboro home, according to his son. The Charlotte Observer reports Bledsoe authored around 20 books, from crime to humor to compilations of his newspaper columns, and owned Down Home Press, which publishes about 25 authors. Bledsoe was born in Danville, Virginia, and grew up in Thomasville. He served in the Army for 3 years before becoming a reporter and columnist for the Greensboro Daily News and the Charlotte Observer. He was 84 years old. As of the end of 2025, more than 97% of the state-maintained roads that were damaged by Hurricane Helene have reopened. But about two dozen roads remain impassable. As Blue Ridge Public Radio's Felicia Sanmez reports, the remaining road closures continue to make life challenging for some western North Carolina communities.
Tangi Morgan is the mayor of the small town of Saluda in Polk County. But that's not her only job. She's also the owner and manager of the M.A. Pace General Store, which she says is one of the oldest stores in North Carolina.
Now see, this is my family's business. It started in the 1890s. And yeah, 176 has affected us.
Well, by 176, Morgan means U.S. 176, the state highway connecting Saluda to communities like Hendersonville to the northwest and Tryon and Landrum to the southeast. Ever since Hurricane Helene, a winding stretch of about 1.2 miles between Tryon and Saluda has been impassable, leaving locals and visitors alike searching for detours.
You know, 176 kind of connects all the towns together, and with that being closed, it kind of isolates us from the other towns, which has affected our business personally. I mean,
because of the road's closure, most drivers end up taking Interstate 26, which runs parallel to 176 a few miles away. But Morgan says that comes with its own problems. Small towns like Saluda are just a sign on the side of the highway.
It's hard on people, you know, because I think if they get out on the interstate, they may just keep going, and they bypass us, and that's not a good thing.
Part of the reason the repair is taking so long is the number of entities involved in the pre-construction process. That's according to David Uchiyama, an NCDOT spokesperson.
We're still getting all of the environmental documentation, working with our federal partners, coordinated with the Army Corps of Engineers, working with the utility companies that have their own whole mess to figure out.
And that's on top of working with NCDOT's right-of-way office and property owners in the area, and acquiring the permits to start construction. All of that work has to happen before the first piece of dirt can be moved, Uchiyama says. The damaged stretch of road sits in a gorge along the North Pacolet River, about halfway between Tryon and Saluda. At the barriers declaring the road's closure, the only sounds are the chirping of birds and a distant dog barking. Further along, entire chunks of the roadway have crumbled into the river. Guardrails are twisted, mangled, and hanging in thin air after the rushing floodwaters washed away the earth beneath them. On the other side of the closed road is the town of Tryon, where longtime resident Monica Jones is out shopping on a recent afternoon.
Saluda is a sister village, and we have not had access to it. I-26 has been so bad, really bad, with all the construction and the accidents that we're having. I just avoid going north if I can.
Jones says she used to sell some items on consignment at a store in Saluda, but she ended up taking them out because she didn't want to deal with frequent travel on the interstate. She says the closure of 176 has had a huge impact on the town.
And we really, really miss it. And I'm sure that it's affected the businesses here as much as it has affected Saluda, too.
Behind the scenes, the repair process is quietly moving forward. Uchiyama, the NCDOT spokesperson, says the state will begin accepting bids from contractors next spring, with construction set to start as early as April.
So many pieces of paper are being moved. So many designs are being drawn up right now as we, you and I have this conversation. but folks aren't seeing it on the ground. And so that is why a few folks are a little upset, and understandably so.
While NCDOT hasn't set a date for reopening yet, once completed, the US 176 project will include a new retaining wall, guardrails, a tow wall, and more. In the meantime, residents like Morgan and Jones are waiting, as are others all across the region. In Tryon, I'm Felicia Sonmez.
And for Monday, January 5th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.